The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
What I have given you is Psalm 4, and I've given you a side-by-side comparison. Because today, very simply, I would just like to take you through the psalm and show you some things that at least delight me. Psalm 4 is a jewel, and it's one I'm not sure a lot of people know about or maybe read very often, but it's an evening psalm. This would have been a liturgical piece, something meant for worship, but at evening time. On the left-hand side of the page, you've got the NIV. I just chose that as kind of a standard translation. I also love the New Living Translation, and I've given that to you on the right-hand side of the page. So I'd like to read it just out loud, just to enjoy God's Word together, and then I would like to show you a couple of things about it. I'll read the NIV first. Psalm 4, for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Other translations, seek lies. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble, and in your anger, do not sin. When you were on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Now, the NLT has some little variations in there that I think are really interesting and maybe shed a little more light on a couple of these phrases. Let me read that one out loud. Answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people ruin my reputation? How long will you make groundless accusations? How long will you continue your lies? You can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Offer sacrifices in the right spirit and trust the Lord. Many people say, who will show us better times? Let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't that marvelous? What a jewel of a psalm, an evening psalm. And as we go through today, I'd like for you to think particularly and practically how you might want to incorporate that into your evening prayers. Have you noticed evil around you these days? Wickedness, chaos even, a lack of godliness? The wicked seem to succeed. The wicked seem to prosper. My goodness, all you have to do is turn on the news and discover some new horrifying thing happening in the world. I think it was last week that one of the religious leaders in Iran used the occasion of a prayer service to call for death. How twisted and upside down is that? The psalmist seems to be wrestling with some of these things. Wicked people seem to prosper, but God has helped him, the psalmist. That's one of the things going on here. And he seems to be drawing a big comparison with godly people and godly lives and righteousness and ungodly people. So I want you to notice the first thing he does is he addresses God. That's verse number one. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. The other translation, free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. The psalmist, who's getting really real, is addressing God. How easily can we put ourselves in that place? Oh God, who can I turn to but you? Answer me. You are my righteous God. Would you give me relief from my distress? Would you free me from my troubles? Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. One commentary I read on this says that it might have been from the time that David is dealing with Absalom. What do you remember about Absalom? David's son, and Absalom was an obedient and loving child. No, he was rebellious, and he was rebellious in every possible way you can think of, including wanting to kill his own father, certainly supplant him as king. And David, once again, is saying, oh God, would you hear me? I heard someone describe this week the incredible stress that they're under in their workplace, maybe you as well. Oh God, hear me, have mercy. Have mercy, hear my prayer. The psalmist is addressing God in verse 1. And then he addresses evil people in verse 2. Look at it. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions? Another translation is seek lies. So if it is true that this reflects the time of Absalom, then David is saying, you wouldn't believe, God, what these people are saying about me. How long are all y'all, that's the East Tennessee translation, the ETT version, how long all y'all are going to be saying these lies about me? It's rubbish. It's garbage. How long will you continue your lies? Do you see that little phrase that says, turn my glory into shame? What is his glory? Is he talking about himself? We'd be tempted to think so. But David himself names what his glory is in the previous psalm, Psalm 3 in verse 3. If you go there, you can see it, but I'll read it to you. Verse 3 of Psalm 3 says, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. So the psalmist is saying that his glory is the Lord. So that sheds an interesting little glimmer of light on that verse 2, doesn't it? How long will you people turn my glory into shame? You are trying to shame my Lord. You're making groundless accusations. You're trying to ruin my reputation, and at the same time, you're slandering God. You're saying something about my glory. So verse 1, he addresses God. Verse 2, he's addressing evil people. And verse 3, he seems to be addressing now God's people. The shift happens there, it seems to me. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call. The NLT says, you can be sure of this. I love that, don't you? I don't know what's going on around me. Work is horrible. My children have rebelled against me, Absalom. You wouldn't believe, God, what they're saying down in the courts about me. But you can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. Set aside, setting apart, remember, in scripture, in theological terms, that means to sanctify or to make holy. When we gather around up here and we anoint people with oil, sometimes you will hear me pray, oh Lord, set aside this oil for a holy purpose. Being set aside, that's how God makes something holy. It's been specially made. It's been particularly chosen. It's been taken from here and put over here. Why? For special use. You can be sure of this, verse 3 NLT, the Lord set apart the godly for himself. And that's why I can be confident that he will hear when I call. Verse number 4, still addressing God's people. The NIV says, tremble and in your anger do not sin. Another translation which does not hear is, and I love this one, stand in awe. Isn't that good? Tremble. Stand in awe. Do not sin, or in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. There's some traditions that go way back in the early church that call for nighttime reflection. Now, I have to be really careful about that because my mind is like 18 squirrels locked in a small room. And if I'm not, you are you like that too? These days I feel one squirrel short of a load. But so if I'm not careful, nighttime reflection can be trying to work stuff out or worry about it. And my mind gets going and then I can't sleep. That's not what's being talked about here. Also, if I'm not careful, I can begin to recite all of the awful, yucky stuff that I condemn myself about. Now, I'm condemning myself, but really it's Satan who's having a heyday and doing that. That's not what's being said here either. The tradition that was being called for is nighttime examination, thinking back through the day and reflecting on the day to see if there's something that needs addressing with God. That's a different matter altogether than trying to figure out where you messed up again, Chris. Or how am I going to fix that? Who am I going to call tomorrow or whatever? That's a little bit reminiscent of something we read in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. You remember this one. Paul says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. The East Tennessee translation, I heard an old pastor say one time, we don't want to give the devil a toehold. Because very often that's all he needs, right? Just a little something. So maybe this is a way that you might want to incorporate this psalm into your nighttime routine as well. Reflect on the day. Is there anything that needs addressing with God? With God. Don't let the devil have a toehold. Verse 5 is my particular favorite in this psalm. It's a jewel to me. And I often ask folks who are going through difficult times to read Psalm 4 and then reflect here just a little bit more. What's it say? It says, offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust the Lord. Or the other version, offer sacrifices in the right spirit and trust the Lord. So what is a right sacrifice? What is a righteous sacrifice? Sacrifice. What is it to offer a sacrifice of the right spirit? The psalmist seems to be calling out worship that is kind of maybe going through the motions. Maybe the psalmist is saying, hey, there's a bunch of you all who are like doing what you're supposed to do on this particular liturgical day, and you're offering the right goat or whatever it is, but it's not from a righteous place. He seems to be calling that out, at least to my mind. Worship that goes through the motions rather than worship that is accompanied by faith and trust. The psalmist here is saying, offer righteous worship. Offer real, honest-to-goodness worship. And accompany it with faith and trust. And that's one of the places where we can have a check against just sitting on our beds or lying in our beds and thinking about all the rotten stuff that we've done. Because we have to attach the faith and trust to it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I give God, or I think I do, a big ball of something and then say, would you please do something with this? And then I take it back. Do you ever do that? It's hard to let it go, isn't it? Heard someone say one time, we want to bring this to the foot of the cross and leave it there. Maybe that's something of what's going on here as well. Offer right sacrifices, worship, and accompany it with trust and faith. What in the world are we supposed to do when the world seems to be crumbling around us? Worship. Worship. Accompanied by faith and trust. That's worth saying again. What in the world are we supposed to do when the whole world seems to be crumbling around us? The answer, beloved, worship. Offer right sacrifices. Offer righteous sacrifices accompanied by faith and trust. Verse number 6. Many, Lord, are asking, oh my goodness, is this just right out of today's headlines? Many, Lord, not a few, a bunch of people, a lot of folks are saying, hey, who in the world will show us better times? That's the translation on the right. Who will show us better times? You ever heard that before these days? All the time. We, if we're not careful, look for somebody to do that. If we just had, we're all guilty of this. If we just had this person in charge, boy, things would be different. I heard a fascinating thing this week. I mentioned it to the elders the other night. And in some ways, it was heartbreaking on about two different levels, maybe three. I was listening to a protest, watching as a video, protest in Tel Aviv led by Israeli folks who are hopping mad, extremely angry with Netanyahu. They want him out. And this person who was leading the protest with the microphone, hundreds and hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people, said this, "What we need now is a Moses. Oh, that we would have a Moses come." Isn't that fascinating? That's who they've been looking for all along, a Moses to deliver them. He said, "But instead, we've been given a Pharaoh. We have a Pharaoh over us." Isn't that interesting? And we do the same thing. If we just had Donald J. Trump back in there, things would be a lot better. No, if we can just get Biden reelected, then no. The psalmist is saying, who will bring us prosperity? Oh, remember the days when the stock market was really raging. Who's going to bring that back? Who will show us better times? Another way to say it, there's widespread uncertainty. Think about what that says. Who's going to show us better times? It's cynical. It's a kind of desperation. There's no good in the world. Have you heard that lately? The whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. Things are just circling down the drain. There's no good in the world. Nobody is trustworthy anymore. Nobody is honest. How do we combat the cynicism and despair that so many people today seem to hold? The answer is in verse 6. Allow your goodness to rise up in us. That's really what's being said here. You see, it says, let the light of your face shine on us. Other translation, let your face smile on us. So instead of participating in the cynicism, and I'm talking to me too, something happened on the news the other day, and I said out loud, I despair for the world. But instead of getting cynical, instead of just saying, boy, everything's rotten, we can say, no, world, look at me and look at my behavior. Not because I'm all that great, not because I've done thus and so, but because when you look at me, you will see the goodness of God. Because, last half of verse number 6, you have shined your face on me, O God. In other words, God, let us by our example shut the mouths of those who would speak a negative or cynical word about there being no good in the world or no honest people left. These days, a lot of people are watching Christians, and they're counting all the many places that Christians mess up. And it makes them feel better about themselves. That's one of the reasons why it's so critical that we behave in a godly way. Hey, listen, the psalmist says, God has set you apart. It's critical that we behave in a godly way because people are watching and we are supposed to reflect God's goodness. Because why? Last half of verse 6, He has shined His face on us. I had a former family member who spent the entirety of his life's energy, and I'm not being hyperbolic, he spent all of his energy pointing out the obvious failings of Christians to justify his own lazy, pitiful, self-centered life. One of the most pitiable things I've ever seen. Listen, God has shined His face on us. God has, what does it say? Smiled upon us. Verse number 6. I love to look at commentary by the church fathers, and St. Augustine has an interesting thing to say about this particular verse. I need to reflect on it more, but I want to share it with you. He says this way, he translates or comments on verse 6 this way, "The light of your countenance is stamped on us, O Lord." Isn't that an interesting idea? Then he says, that phrase, "stamped on us," suggests a coin stamped with the king's picture. For the human individual has been made in God's image and likeness, something that each has corrupted by sinning. Therefore, true and eternal goodness is ours if we are minted afresh by being born again. Isn't that good? God has smiled upon us. He set us aside. He's smiled on us. He's shown us His goodness. He's minted us like He mint a coin, you know what I mean? He's pressed His likeness on us. God's fingerprints are all over us. We are His workmanship, as Paul says. Verse number 7, all of that changes how you receive joy. Let me say it this way. All of what we've just said changes your perspective on where joy comes from. So what gives you joy or what should give you joy in the middle of all the chaos and the cynicism around us is God's goodness shining through us. The psalmist has something more joy than all those cynical evil people, all that they have, all that they've done when they're rich. The psalmist here is talking about grain and new wine. They've got all this stuff. They've got all the cars and the land and the rich just getting richer and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, I have more than that. I have joy. I might seem to not have anything, but I've got joy. And it's because God's goodness is shining through me. And therefore, verse number 8, I can sleep, I can lie down, I can have peace, I can have safety. Why? Because it is the Lord who does that. When the world around us seems to be crumbling and falling, and when people ask, who's going to return us to some better times? The answer is worship. Offer right sacrifices. And at night, when you're getting ready to go to sleep, don't go through a litany of all the stuff you messed up on, but talk with God and agree with Him about what, if anything, needs doing. And then rest, lie down in safety and peace. I'm hoping that you will take this text and use it in your nighttime devotionals. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, when I read this psalm, it's almost as if David himself is watching the world events around us unfold and writing it down. It rings so true. It's so relevant. So first of all, thank you that something written by a particular person for a particular context in the long ago, still by the power of your Holy Spirit, has all kinds of wonderful things to say to us today. Lord, you have set us apart, and today we would rededicate our lives to your holy purposes. Shine your light, your face, mint your image, press that upon us. Let that be our glory. And for all the cynics and negative nabobs out there, let them see your glory through us and say, there is a God who is alive, and he makes people to lie down and sleep in safety and peace. O radiant light, O Son divine of God the Father's deathless face, O image of the light sublime that fills the heavenly dwelling place. O Son of God, the source of life, praise is yours due by day and night. Our happy lips must raise the strain of your esteemed and splendid name. Lord Jesus Christ, as daylight fades, as shine the lights of eventide, we praise the Father with the Son, the Spirit blessed, and with them one. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.